Amen. The healer's in the house tonight. Hey, you may be seated. I haven't done a healing service in a long time, so I decided tonight I'm going to do a healing service. That's the song that they sang in all of my healing campaigns. They will sing that song before I come up to minister. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 14, verse number 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he walked and leaped. Now I want you to notice some things here. It said he heard Paul speak. And then Paul perceived that he had faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You see, now I want you to notice several things as I minister tonight. First of all, he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed. He was still a cripple. Come on. It wasn't until he obeyed Paul's command to stand up that he jumped to his feet and began to leap and walk. Now that's a miracle in itself, because it says he was a cripple from his mother's womb. He had never walked. So that's a miracle in itself. He didn't have to learn to walk. This is the only man I know of reading in the Bible that didn't learn to walk. He immediately knew how to walk. But the thing is, he had faith, but that faith did not do him any good until he activated that faith. Now go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It says here that there was a woman that had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things and many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said, "You see this multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her that had done the thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth, the story we just read. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I want you to notice that he said her faith had did it. Now I want you to notice what her faith was. It says when she heard of Jesus, then she came to Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us how she heard. The Bible doesn't tell us where she was when she heard. The Bible doesn't tell us where Jesus was. I don't know how far she had to go to get there. But she found him. Because she said, "If I can touch his clothes." See, she put some action. And then she had another problem. She was living under the Old Testament law. And you can go read it in Leviticus. It says that anybody with a blood condition is not supposed to be out with the general public, not supposed to be, if they even get close, they're supposed to yell unclean. So now she has to go into this crowd, and she's not supposed to, according to her covenant that she's living under. But he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. But he said power went out of him, right? But he didn't say the power made her whole. He said her faith did. Now the power had something to do with it, because God's healing power is there, but you activate the healing power with faith. Now, when I was about 9, 10 years old, I think, Dad was preaching in a church. Wasn't a very big one. And I bet they might not even been 120 people there. I don't know. It was just a small church. Back in the day when I was growing up, if you were a Pentecostal, you were an outcast. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with you. You were segregated. In fact, your church was on the outskirts of town most of the time. That's why I got so acquainted with the Church of God in Christ, the Black Church, Pentecostal Church, because our church, we were out on Highway 24 where our church sat. Dad pastored that church there. And then, actually, we were out further out of town than they were. The Church of God in Christ church was up here. Elder Smith was the pastor, and so him and Dad would change pulpits with one another. So I can become very familiar with how they operated and everything, you know. But, it was outcast. So it was a small church, probably, I don't know. It had a one little section here and two little sections over on the side, and had an aisle there and an aisle there. Now the sections on the side went up against the wall. There wasn't a wall. There wasn't a aisle beside of it. So he said, after he preached, he said, okay, everybody that has any trouble walking, get down here and sit on the altar. Now, that was in the days when we had altars in churches. Anybody remember when we used to have altars down here in the front of the church? Maybe we need to put them back. I don't know. But you can make an altar anywhere. So here they came. And so these people came down, and there were 10 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. Now, some of them had to be helped down there. Some of them got down there by themselves. One man, I think he'd been burned and his ligaments and muscles all, and he was like this, and all he could do is scoot like that. Dad went down and he pointed that first person and said, run. That person jumped up and took off running. They started off shuffling, but they ended up running. And he went right down the line, every one of them. He got to that man. You never seen a man get up and shuffle so fast in all of your life. He went down that aisle, but when he come back up this one, he was running full blast. Now he went straight down the line. He got to this last lady, number 10. And he said, run in the name of Jesus. And this is exactly what that lady did. Exactly. My God, preacher, I can't even walk, much less run. I mean, just like that, that tone of voice. And Dad said to her, well, you saw all these other people. Some of them could hardly help down here. You got down here by yourself. You were slow, but you got down here. She said, I can't run, and I won't. And she did. You see, every one of them put action. They did what they were told to do. It says that power went out of him, but he said to her, your faith has healed you. Now go to Luke 5. Luke 5, 17. Now it happened on a certain day, As he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And here, get this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, that is, lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of the people, in the midst of Jesus. Now, it says through the tiling. From a course that I took when I was in Bible school called A Life and Times of Jesus, the houses in those day and age had a flat roof, and they had these tiles that you could lift out. We called them tiles, but they were actually it was some sort of rock. And they used those sometimes in the cool evening. They would set up there. Sometimes they would sleep up there. If you remember, Peter was on the housetop when he had the vision to go down to Cornelius' house and preach to the Gentiles. And so they had just lived in. See, when we see took the roof off, we look at it, we think of roofs like we have. No, it was a roof that would been you. It was used for other purposes rather than a roof. It was flat. Now, I want you to look at this in verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. And of course, now Jesus did that for a teaching, and he goes on and describes for the Pharisees, and and then Jesus said, perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said, why are you reasoning? Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. See, he was telling them that he had the power to say, to forgive sins. Immediately, he rose before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I want you to notice it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And only him got healed. Why did him get healed and them didn't? Their faith. He said, when he saw their faith. What was it? What was their faith? Well, number one, the guys that was letting him down. And number two, the man on the bed. Now, you know their arms weren't long enough to reach down, so they had to have some kind of rope or something on him to let him down. But what would have happened if they were letting him down, and I assume it had four corners on it because he was laying on some kind. If one of the guys let too much rope go, he's going to dump out. So that's his faith. I mean, how many paralyzed people would let you have faith, you know, let you take them up on top of the house? Much less let them down into the house. It said, when he saw their faith, that's the men, I don't know, I always just said, it says men, I always just said four of them because, you know, I figured it would take four guys, one on each corner to carry him, you know, so that's what I always said that. But anyway, he saw the men and the guy, their faith. Now, go to 10:46 of Mark. Go to 10:46 of Mark. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood and still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus down the road. Now I want you to notice, he said, your faith. Where was his faith? His faith is found in verse 50. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. The garment he threw aside, according to that era, from the same class that I was in, it said, that garment said, I am a blind beggar. I am worthless. I am no good for society. That's what that garment said. His faith was, he left it there. That was his faith talking. And he went to Jesus. I want you to notice that in this portion of scripture, and in the scripture that we read with Paul, it didn't say anything about power. But with the woman with the issue of blood and the man that they let down, it said power. So the power had to be evident in these other places too to receive healing. Actually, the healing power of God is present everywhere all the time. He's at your house. It's here right now. It's up to you to activate it. Now I'm going to go do a little demonstration with this keyboard back here. Maybe it'll help you understand it. It's all plugged in. There's a power cord plugged in. And it's got a screen. And it's on. There's red lights on over here. Red lights here. Green light here. Well, that screen is still on. All these red lights are on. These red lights are on. That green light is on. But there's no sound. Oh. There is one button right here. Even though there's power here. Until that button is activated, there is no sound. That's the same way it is with healing. That is the same way it is with healing. The healing power is always available. It is the faith of the individual that unlocks or activates that power. I have a mic on. I have a little transmitter right here. There's an antenna back there picking me up. Activate it by pushing this little button right here. Even though the power's on, the green light's on, if you could see it, I push that button, the green light's on here, power is there. He can look on the big board back there, and it shows that the channel that this is on, it shows that the power is there, and he can turn those knobs up as far as he wants to. And there's still not going to be any sound until I activate this transmitter that transmits a signal back there to that antenna. And from that antenna, it goes to that board. And from there, it goes to the amplifiers and out to the speakers. But you see, the power can be there. What I'm trying to get across to you, I want you to realize that power is available all the time. The healing power of God is available all the time. In your house, in your car, wherever you're at, the healing power is available. All you have to do is activate it. Amen? Praise God. Now, how many of you, I know I didn't preach long. I usually preach a little longer on the crusade. I preach this message. I've got notebooks stacks full of messages on healing. But this message, when I preach it, I see I have better results than any message that I've ever preached on healing in all the years. How many of you that want healing tonight are ready to activate that healing power by your faith? If you are, stand to your feet right now. If you need healing in this room and you're ready to receive, activate that power with your faith. Hallelujah. All right, y'all just come on down. Y'all line up, got a building here. Y'all line up over there. Y'all line up over here. Come on down, line up. Ushers will help you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once the line starts forming, y'all go to the side over there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing power. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. At least it's not like it is in the Crusades. Right, Anthony? Half of my Crusade team's up here. For over a year now, every time we give a call for the healing, one church, I don't think it's 10 people left. Are you ready? Are you ready? See, I can't heal you, and all I can do is be a pipe through which the anointing flows. It is the power, healing power of God, and you activate it. When I lay hands on you and say, be healed or receive your healing, I want you to say, I take it. Hallelujah. If you want in this line, get out here now. Don't get up after I start praying. All right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. All right, all y'all stand in the crowd. This is not spectator time. This is participation time. This is participation time. So I want you to either be singing with this group or reaching your hands out toward these that want to receive down here. Get ready to receive. The anointing's in the place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. You may be seated for just a moment. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you were in the healing line, and you can check yourself right now, and you know that you're healed, I want you to stand up right now. You can check it and know. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you, you can check yourself and you are better? You can tell you're already better. Hallelujah. Raise your hand wherever you're at. If you were in this healing line and you weren't one of those that stood up, remember in the Word of God it says they were healed as they went. Some began to amend from that hour. So you keep saying, the power of God, the healing power of God is in working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. The healing power of God is working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. Every time you think about it, you say it. You know, I have, through the years, prayed for many people. The one I like to say the most that happened many, many years ago, I was doing crusades with Dad out in California. He was doing the morning and night. I was doing the afternoons and I'm at the convention center there in the orange room, I think. It held about, back then, they've reconfigured all that. Back then, it held about 4,000, I think. And he would have that many at night. And afternoon, I'd have about two. And one, I just started preaching one afternoon, and there were double doors right over here, and they rolled a lady in on a stretcher, and they had all kinds of apparatuses rolling with her, and she was hooked up to I don't know how many machines and IVs and all that. And so I prayed for her, and I found the story out later what they said. They said they asked if they could come bring her to a healing meeting, and the doctor said, I don't care where you take her, she's not going to live past midnight anyway. So the story goes that they took her back to the hospital, and she just got a little better, every day for 6 weeks. And she walked out of there cancer free. Her body was completely full of cancer all over her body. And she just got better every day until she is completely well. So keep the switch of faith turned on. You know, thank God for the instant healing, but I can guarantee you the guys that get it just day by day until they're completely well, they're going to be just as happy as the guy that got it instantly. They're just glad they're healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Listen, as we close the service tonight, my prayer workers are going to come. They're coming now. The ladies will be over here and the men over here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come down here and pray with them. If you know what it is to serve God, but that's not where you're supposed to be, and you need to come down here and pray with them and rededicate your life to God. If you want prayer for the Holy Spirit, that's Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, if you need somebody to pray with you about any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come to the front and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Connection team, go find my first time guest and take them to get that special gift. And if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We're having a great time. The Rhema family, we call ourselves, and we're having a great time serving God unlimited around here, both in the spiritual and the natural. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements that Brother Bill told you a while ago. Remember all those announcements. Remember, if you're varsity youth is going on the mission trip, or they're thinking about going on the mission trip, there is a mandatory parents meeting in the varsity youth building right back here in about 20 minutes. All right? It's 8:20. So Pastor Denise said make sure that we've made that announcement. We're making it. If your youth is going on the youth mission trip or thinking about going, then you need to be there, okay? Praise the Lord. We've gone on several mission trips, and I happen to see John and Alba Romick and their son Daniel there. They're the heads of Rhema Columbia, and our youth group went down to Columbia a few years ago. That, stand up, y'all, so that people can see you. They're Rhema Columbia right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, we have School of the Bible. And somebody said, well, what in the world is School of the Bible? Well, that's where the church is divided up into groups according to marital status and age. And they get together. And that's where the big church becomes small. Okay, so go there. Also, we have something we call link groups. And our link groups are this, they're based around different things that you like to do. And it tells you about it in the bulletin there. You know, if it's golfing or if it's disc golf or if it's riding bicycle, riding motorcycle. I think they got a lean group called the Fifth Sunday Lunch Bunch or something, I think. And what it is, I've noticed that people tend to congregate their friends with the same kind of activities that they like to do. And so you can come together and then you can have some worship time, but you can also have enjoyment time. Amen. All right, everybody stand up. Somebody shake hands with somebody and say, I'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, receiving the Holy Spirit, any reason you want prayer, come to the front right now. God bless. Lead me by.